Idaho has one of the highest concentrations of veterans per capita in the United States. And with Veterans Day coming up this Sunday, we wanted to take a closer look at our vets by seeing how they address things like PTSD to the challenges they face adjusting back to civilian life. For the past 10 years, psychotherapist Elizabeth Haney has worked with combat veterans. She also works with the Wounded Warrior Project, and she is the author of the award-winning book, The Honor Was Mine. It is about her experiences working on military bases during the height of the Iraq-Afghanistan war years. Elizabeth is joining me live by phone today. Elizabeth, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jim. I'm glad to be here.
I'm really glad to have you on. First off, tell me how did you start working with veterans, in particular combat veterans?
What happened was I had been a therapist in private practice for about 30 years in the civilian world, and the opportunity came up to take a job working on military bases. The military needed more mental health folks on the bases while folks were deploying into war or coming back from war. And so I took that job. And I would get sent to bases where a battalion was getting ready to leave, or the folks were coming back after 6 months to a year in combat. So I was working right on the edge of either the departures or the returns. And I was working with the veterans and their spouses, just trying to cope with, you know, what they were carrying home or the fears they were leaving with.
And what did you find in that work? Are there things that are unique to our combat veterans?
Well, it was like working in a different world, to be honest with you. I had to completely change the way I worked with clients. I had to listen very differently. This is a population that is trained to be very reticent and maybe even stoic. And at the same time, they're having experiences that are profound and sometimes horrific and, you know, deeply changing a person's heart and psyche. So for them to try to bring that forward and talk about it is really a challenge. So I had to really learn, like, oh, this is like a different culture, and I have to kind of figure out how to connect with them in a different way to help them feel, I don't even want to say comfortable, but just feel like it's an option to talk about what's going on inside and how maybe disheveled they feel internally from things that happened in combat.
You know, you use the term bridging the gap of understanding between civilians and veterans. And you know, it sounds like you kind of touched on that a moment ago, but can you go a little bit further with that? Because I would think that it has got to be so difficult after you have been in a war zone to then basically be dropped back home where everything is probably the way it was when you left, but you're not the same. And yet people, might look the same on the outside.
Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, I had folks who would say to me, you know, 2 weeks ago I was in combat and yesterday I was in Walmart, you know, and you can imagine the and they would say things like, I can't stand to wait in line. I can't stand crowds. I can't go into, you know, I have to have my wife go into the grocery store because they're just too jangled by what they were just in. And I think we sort of expect them to just come back and now everything's great. You're home. It's, you know, wonderful. That's really not their experience at all. I mean, they're definitely glad to be home. But it's like, one of them said to me, it's like flying into a brick wall. Mm.
And you know, that's interesting, Elizabeth, because when you think about that it's like you should be happy you're home. You made it home. You're alive. But then, you know, go all the way back to the Vietnam War and people were coming home and we saw so many issues with our veterans then. And granted, and a lot of it had to do with how they were received when they came back home as well. But what can we learn, not just from Vietnam, but then taking it all the way to the Iraq War, because we still have veterans coming home? What do we do as a community? Because they cannot reacclimate on their own.
Right. I do feel like we have to reach across that gap. We, meaning civilians, have to reach across that gap. So there's lots of things we can do. You know, first of all, do we know veterans? I mean, they may not talk about being a veteran, but I would say scan your life. Do you know people that are veterans, Vietnam veterans, Iraq veterans, Afghanistan veterans, even World War II veterans? Like, can you just reach out to them and acknowledge that they served? You know, you don't need to say thank you for your service because that's not really something that works for them. But to be able to say, look, I just want to recognize that you sacrificed, you know, you went over and you did something. Now, if you know them more personally, I certainly would probably reach out to them a little more than that and say, how are you doing? You know, how has it been to be back? I'm not trying to get them to talk about war stories. I'm just trying to acknowledge you're carrying burdens that I can't imagine. So you don't have to tell me all about them. I'm not going to pry and try to get you to spill your guts. But I do want to acknowledge that you are carrying burdens. You went through some things that I never had to go through.
I'm speaking with Elizabeth Haney. She's a psychotherapist who works with combat veterans. And you brought up, I thought you said something very interesting a moment ago, Elizabeth. You said you don't need to say thank you for your service. That doesn't work for them. But we hear that over and over again. So what should we say instead? If we, you know, you see this a lot of times, right? Like maybe you're at an airport or on an airplane and you'll see someone in uniform. It's like, oh, thank you for your service. Is there something else that we should be saying or doing?
You know, I changed it a little bit for myself, and sometimes I'll put my hand on their shoulder and say, appreciate what you do, which is a little bit different because I'm not it's confusing to them because they shrug and they say, I'm just doing my job. You know, I signed up for this. This is my job. You don't thank everybody else for doing their job. Well, they're doing more than, quote, their job. They really are being of great service to us, and that's what we're trying to thank them for. But I do try to honor that that's awkward for them. So I try to find, you know, if I'm sitting next to them on a plane, I'll say, so, you know, where were you based or what was your job? But within the service, they all have different jobs. One guy's a truck driver, a woman's a, you know, electrician, you know, they have different jobs. So I'll say, oh, what was your job when you were in the service and where, you know, where were you based and did you deploy? And I just try to, you know, relate to them rather than just the thank you. I am deeply grateful for their service. I have no question about that. But I don't want to make them uncomfortable by thanking them if that's, you know, if that's really not what they want.
But those are simple things that the average person can do. And it's about just changing your language a little bit. And do you see that that makes a difference? Because, you know, the majority of us are not in the industry that you are in. We are not therapists. We are not psychotherapists. We do not have the training that you have. But it is wanting to make sure that when our veterans come home, that they can reacclimate and reacclimate well.
And, you know, even just finding a way to acknowledge them, just finding a way to reach out, because they do feel invisible a lot. And I do think we civilians have a little bit of responsibility for that. We don't make sure we know, you know, have you served? Are you a veteran? You know, where did you serve? You know, we don't ask them those questions. And so they do feel invisible. They feel like life here just goes on and no one really notices them. So I just try to go the extra mile to, you know, I'll notice someone with a very short haircut and say, hey, are you a veteran? Or I'll notice the sticker on the back of their car, you know, that says what battalion they were in. Or, you know, I just try to have an awareness now that I walk through a world that has veterans in it. And can I sort of do a little bit of extra attention to figure out who they are?
And, you know, we know the research is showing we have high suicide rates and we have mental illness issues and among our veterans. And, you know, we know a lot of that comes from PTSD. It comes from what they went through. But also, if as a community we acknowledge, as you say, can that make a bit of a difference in how our veterans move forward in their lives?
I think it's the key for us really bringing them home is us putting that little bit of extra attention into reaching out to them. You know, volunteer at the VA if that's a thing that, you know, you feel like you can do. You know, find veterans organizations that you can be supportive of, write a check or, you know, give your time. But really make sure they get the message, we see you and we do appreciate what you've given. And we're going to help you come home.
And Elizabeth, you've been doing this work for more than a decade. I mean, and you were on, you know, the front lines as well, helping these veterans. Have we made progress as a society when it comes to how we are incorporating our veterans back into civilian life? And is there more we can do?
Well, I do feel like we've made some progress. And I mean, just very frankly, Jenna, like, we're not doing enough yet. There's still too many people who are coming home and slipping through the cracks. They may be, you know, at risk of suicide, or they just may be dealing with profound depression or anxiety. And we're just not doing enough to reach out and make sure that every single one of those gets drawn back into our culture and our society, and that we understand they've been through something extremely traumatic and they need our help. You know, they need our mental health help, definitely. Mm-hmm. But they also need our warmth and our compassion and our attention if we're just civilians, you know, in the grocery store next to them. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I so appreciate what you said about making that clarification for those of us who have never been in the military. And instead of saying, you know, I thank you for your service, like, I appreciate what you do. It's simple, but I can understand how that makes a difference for someone, because mm-hmm. they are doing their job, and that is the way that they look at it. And
yeah.
So thank you for giving, you know, for giving people those words as well, because I think sometimes we forget how much language matters.
I think every single one of our veterans made a sacrifice, whether it was, you know, a part of their body, whether it was a part of their heart, whether it was simply time away from their family. Every single one of our veterans sacrificed something for us. So I do think it's appropriate to say, I appreciate your sacrifice. I appreciate what you gave. Because the truth is, they did give it for me and you and our family. They did. Even if it was just time away from their family. I was talking to someone who was a Navy veteran who had never been in combat, but man, he spent so much time on deployments on ships, you know, out away from his family, missed Christmases and birthdays. So he wasn't ever in combat, but boy, he sacrificed.
And they still have to acclimate back home when they've been gone that long, whether they've been, you know, in combat or not.
That's right. And the adjustment to their family, again, we think it's going to be so rosy and wonderful because mom or dad has just come home and now it's all great. And oh, my goodness, it's so difficult mm-hmm. for them to adjust. Oh, it's really two completely separate worlds.
Mm-hmm. And well, I appreciate you coming on today and talking to us about this and clarifying things. And especially as we come up onto Veterans Day, a good time to think about this. My guest today, Elizabeth Haney, she's a psychotherapist who works with combat veterans, also an award-winning author with the book The Honor Was Mine. It is about her experiences working on military bases during the height of the Iraq-Afghanistan war years. Elizabeth, thank you so much for the conversation today.
And thank you. Thank you so much.